because that's a subject that came up earlier already in the when you're working so intensely together. I mean, you have to do it with everything that you have as a person, but still there's so many moments that you have to take back and let the others go.
Yeah.
That seems to, for me, a very hard work, actually, that, personally, on a psychological level.
Yeah, but that's what makes it interesting for 40 years, too. If it was before easy, I don't think we'd still be together.
Well, there's another question.
You know, what's really interesting, referred to the young quartets that start out, you play one of the Brahms quartet or some of the masterworks, you have a chance to play it once or twice, you know. So
yeah.
Then you think you need to take decisions. But on this top level, you know, when you live with pieces for many, many years, you also have the option to say, okay, we played so many times, and you can turn things around. And that's a totally different thing being a student quartet, saying, okay, we work on this today so that we play it, because it's this one thing. But if you live with a piece and play it 50 times or 70 times, then you can allow the other one, okay, tonight we try it your way,
right.
You know?
That's a very good point. That's a luxury that you don't have as a student. And I think it's important for student groups or even young professional groups to try to play as many concerts as possible, even if they don't pay. In the beginning, we played concerts in libraries and churches to raise money for things. Maybe we got our expenses paid. I mean, we just got out there and performed as much as possible because we realized that that was the way we would learn. And we would record the concerts for ourselves and be able to listen to it. Otherwise, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think that's one of the problems with learning as a musician is that you often work on things. Sometimes you don't get to perform them at all. Or you, as a group, you play it once and you can't conquer something like that in one performance. Or even in, you know, 200 performances. And that's again why it's interesting, because it's never there. I mean, even the recordings, it's like a version of what we do, but it's not,
yeah.
You know, the thing, I mean, occasionally I'll hear a recording of, I don't sit around listening to my recordings, but occasionally somebody will be on the radio and I've had two different experiences with it. One time listening to it, thinking, wow, that's really beautiful. Yeah, I remember when we recorded that piece, I had so much trouble with it. I wish I had played it like that. And then at the end, I said, that was the Emerson Quartet. You know? and then another time, Arnold Steinhardt, the Guarneri Quartet, I see the book there, called me. This is early on in the days of the Emerson. And he said, you know, I just have to tell you this funny story. He said, I was listening to the radio, and it came on, and it was the middle of Opus 18, number 6, Beethoven. And I was listening to it, and I thought, no, it's good. It's good playing. It's not the Guarneri Quartet, but it sounds like a good young quartet. They're not quite settled yet, you know, but very good playing individually, you know, play well in tune together. I'll bet it's the Emerson Quartet. If you heard us, you know, once, and he knew me from Cleveland. And then Dan was the Guarneri String Quartet. So, you know, it's just your sense of what you do, and you know, it's
because you're alive, you're a human being.
Yeah,
everything
right.
Changes all the time, I suppose.
Yeah.
How
again,
did you,
again that makes it interesting.
Exactly. So that's of course one of the questions perhaps always asked, but I'm still going to ask it anyhow. How did you manage to stay more than 40 years together and perform like this? And it was clearly visible that you enjoyed each other's company.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I don't know. I think we're very lucky, first
of
all.
But is that luck?
Some of it is luck, because, I mean, you know, we all,
like
we've all had relationships with people, either love relationships or business relationships, just friendships that can grow or not grow, and sometimes it's something you can do, you can help, you can work on, but sometimes it's just lives kind of come together and then they go apart, and it is kind of miraculous that we've been able to stay. We were for 34 years with the same four people, And then David left almost 5 years ago, and Paul came in, and it's been great with Paul. We've been very happy. We're happy with David. It wasn't a bad breakup or a divorce or anything. He just had too many other things that he wanted to do and felt it was better for him and better for us if he left. But you know, our pat answer for this, which I have to say, is I really believe strongly, is that we all have a sense of humor, and I don't think that we take ourselves too seriously. I mean, we do, but the music is the boss. You asked who the boss is, and if the music becomes less important, then of course you can say, well, the fights are about the music, but usually fights are not just about the music.
That's interesting, because in the course of the years, of course, I went back to concerts and met them again. And also, often were there in the short rehearsals before the concerts, you know. And I think it was you, even sort of in the Beethoven Quartet, is just starting the rehearsal just with half step higher tuned, and said, "Oh, let's try this key today." And of course, it breaks up in laughter. But that just shows sort of that you sort of have this side of humor, challenging each other, and not wasting your time, but saying, "Okay, let's go for it," and this freshness. And that, I think, was always from that's when I got to know you in the first place, and that stayed there. And there's four people like sharing a vision, and but also being like children, say, "Let's tonight, it's going to happen again."
Yeah.
You know, this freshness.
And I think it also keeps you relaxed physically, even if you know, just to break the tension, laugh about something. And, I mean, relaxation is a key part of not just playing the violin or viola or cello, but also in terms of performing, in terms of presentation to the audience, if they sense tension, but also in terms of longevity. I mean, I just watched the end of the Australian finals with Federer, and you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, not that he's that old, but 36 years old to do five sets. And how many times has he done this, and he still is able to? But you watch him; he is so centered. You know, he does everything right, and he's relaxed. I'm sure he's not feeling that way inside, but his body stays relaxed. That's why he's had so few injuries, but and why he's able to do this. It was very interesting.
Nice comparison. Top sport. So talking about humor, what's the best joke about quartet playing? Do you know?
Let me think. Well, there's a few that I could say, but not in public.
This is an intimate situation.
It's an intimate situation. No, let me think.
Or Sven, you might have one. Yesterday we had two great ones on the viola players, but...
And no viola jokes.
No.
No, I think you can come up
with one. I could come up with one. I mean, there's an old joke about the definition of a string quartet. Because this is really old-fashioned, it doesn't apply to our quartet because we're all equally weak. But in the definition was, a string quartet is made up of one very good violinist, one not quite so good violinist, one former violinist, and one person who hates all violinists. That's the standard, right? I can tell another one, but not when they're recording.
Please. He's not recording.
He's not recording. Okay. Well, okay, it has a bad word in it, but it's funny. I think it's a great joke. You may not even know this. Guy goes into a bar, and he yells, "All violists are assholes." And he stops. And a guy gets up from around the other side of the bar, comes over, hits him. He's down on the ground. He wakes up. He says, "Oh, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't know you were a violist." He said, "I'm not. I'm an asshole." That's the best joke.
This is the
sorry way about my language. It doesn't work unless you say that. That's a good one. That's
this
good
is
good
the way to keep it alive. You have
another one? I guess one.
Now, tomorrow, you are going to do a round robin.
Yeah.
With young string quartets And you're changing positions, changing each other. This is because you're also changing positions.
No, I don't change. I sit in my spot. They change around me.
But in the but in the quartet, you're changing positions.
Yeah, yeah. We've always done that. We've done that since we were students. So almost in 2020, which is not that far away, Gene and I will have been playing quartets, not professionally in the beginning, but playing string quartets together for 50 years. So it's pretty amazing. And we've always switched. It was very natural for us to do. A lot of students do that. I mean, it's important to learn the art of playing second violin and first violin. And we felt, I'm joking, but we felt we were equally strong and equally weak. But also, I think we were, the key to it is that we were each able to play second violin and really appreciated the second violin. Both our fathers played second violin and string quartets. My dad was in the Cleveland Orchestra, played second violin in the orchestra, but he also played in a very good quartet from the orchestra called the Sinfonia Quartet. Gene's dad was in the Met Opera Orchestra later as a first violinist, but when he first came to this country after the war, he played second violin in the famous Bush String Quartet. So we had an appreciation from our fathers about the second violin. And it was really a situation where we wanted to share the first violin part, but we also wanted to both play second. So it worked. I think it worked for that reason.
It's actually a very interesting aspect. Also when I had these recordings, the Mozart's or the Bartok's, I was always, because I didn't know the Emerson Quartet yet, but you sensed and you could hear, because also it said, of course, in the booklet who was playing first violin, but the quartet sound, the entire quartet sound was different, in relation to who was playing first violin, because Gene and also Phil, in my opinion, are very different players, different personalities, and it's fantastic to have the flexibility of the quartet in order to change to that. And for me, it was always fascinating when I heard the late Beethoven to see, were you fighting over the choice of playing first violin this or that one?
No, actually, that was the easiest thing that we ever did, was just figuring out what. We just sort of divided everything right down the middle. I mean, he plays first in three of the early Beethovens, I play.
But for instance, when you were doing the first violin in the Haydn.
Yeah, I always do that part. I always play the same part. We don't switch.
Okay.
Like tomorrow, he wouldn't play my part.
But there's not an intrinsic reason. I mean, why you want to do that?
I like that piece, and we just, there's some pieces that we felt equally drawn to, and then we just took that list and divided them up. You take that one, I'll take this. It was easy.
But it's amazing that they sound different.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. There's no point in doing it if it sounds the same.
No, you can do it for your own sake.
Yeah.
But as a listener, you have another experience.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I think that people have said over the years that's been one of the more interesting things about the quartet. And we really didn't, anything that you do in terms of making a decision, a professional career decision, if you make it for the right reason, it almost always works out. We made the decision to switch because we both wanted to play both parts. It wasn't because we had this ego problem that we had to, kind of compromise on. So